This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. We're not on a lockdown. In Sydney, they're having a glad down.
A glad down is what they're calling it. I was calling it a confinement.
A confinement.
Or a stay-at-home request.
Look.
Not order, a stay-at-home request.
Yeah, look, I do feel for the people in New South Wales. It's going to be a tough time for them. 29 new infections.
Macca, it's terrible.
It's awful.
It is terrible.
And our next guest is Senator Janet Rice, Senator for the Greens for Victoria. Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Good morning, Macca and Taz. I'm good. I'm a bit cold. I've just been out on a bike ride with a whole group of community people in Spotswood. Imagine me sitting on a bench underneath a gum tree at the Spotswood Farmers Market.
That's my old territory. I used to live on the edge of Spotswood, actually, in Newport for a long time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look, first off, Janet, there's a couple of things, you know, that we want to talk about. But the first one I wanted to talk about just briefly was the government and Labor combining in the Senate to disallow motions from crossbenchers. I haven't got the full info on this. Tell us what happened this week and why it's such a disaster.
It's tragic. Essentially, there's a part of the day in the Senate every day where any senator, in the past, it was any senator could put up a motion about basically any subject and to put it to a vote. The government and Labor some 12 months ago were getting a bit annoyed with having to vote on too many things, and so they then restricted the numbers. So we've had restricted motions for the last year. What they did on Thursday was to get rid of motions altogether. So there is now no opportunity in this time of day to be forcing the government and Labor to put their position on the record. And for example, there was a motion that I moved during this week, which was on the, you know, we've seen the religious discrimination, so-called religious freedom laws raising their ugly head again in the last couple of weeks. And so I put a motion up to basically say that the Senate agrees that we should not have legislation that discriminates against LGBTIQ plus people, and that to commit themselves to doing broad consultation before any new draft of the laws gets introduced. Quite reasonable requests. The Labor Party supported us and voted with us, but the government voted against it.
Of course they would.
Voted against it. That's right. So it makes government, yeah, puts them on the record to say, okay, this is where you're currently standing. And motions like this, I mean, it was marriage equality, basically, the campaign for marriage equality years and years ago was being pursued through just putting motions on the record, so yeah. Making sure, getting all of the other parties to have to put their position on the record, to be accountable, to be transparent. We used them very successfully, both to point out where, you know, parties are saying one thing and doing another. I mean, the other recent really good example was the horrible transphobic motion that One Nation put up, that we saw that most of the government senators supported that, and there were six of them that didn't. So it just shows where they stand on such issues. Mm. But essentially, Labor and the government ganged up because they don't like being put on the record.
No.
So it's tragic.
I've got a... Tass has got a couple of questions. A really quick one.
I didn't have a question. I had a comment.
Janet, if the President of the Senate objects to what you're saying and tells you to leave the chamber, what happens if you don't?
you're in contempt of the Senate and you'd be taken off to the Privileges Committee. In fact, in the Senate, we don't. It's very, very rare for senators to be asked to leave the chamber, unlike the House. So we basically have got some more, I'm not quite sure why it is, it's the culture is such that, you know, you get told to shut up or asked to withdraw a motion or withdraw a comment or something like that. But in fact, in recent times, I think Richard Di Natale was the last person who was asked to leave the chamber, and that was quite a few years ago.
Okay.
And I can't even remember what absolutely reasonable thing that he was saying at the time, calling out some racism or discrimination or something.
Yeah, I was just wondering, yeah. You know, that if I said, well, no, I'm not going to leave, you can all, you know, go to buggery, like, you know, I'm going to stay sitting here. Anyway, Tess.
No, it wasn't a question. My comment was, it feels a little bit like debate has been gagged. Is that an unfair way to describe it?
No, not unfair at all. That's exactly what it is. And what they're replacing motions with is senators are going to be able to give two-minute statements on things. So I could get up and, you know, speak for 2 minutes on the need to not discriminate against LGBTIQ plus people. But there's no necessity then for that to be voted on. So there's
it
no
just gets recorded in Hansard, and that's the end of that.
That exactly. And the argument that they were using was that, oh, well, we shouldn't have to be having to vote on things with only a day's notice. And we said, well, okay, if you don't want to vote on the day's notice, we'll happily, for some of these motions, we'd happily give you a week's notice. And they said, oh, but, you know, these are complex issues that can't be decided without a debate. And we said, well, okay, let's change the rules so that for some of these more complex issues, you do have, you know, a half an hour debate or something. But they weren't interested, because basically the bottom line is they don't want to be put on the record. And the other big example at the moment for the Labor Party is they're supporting the government in public subsidies for ongoing coal and gas and oil exploration.
Yeah, so
in particular the opening up of the Beetaloo Basin, and Labor of, you know, we've put motions up to just say, don't, you know, do what the D7 has said and stop giving subsidies to fossil fuel companies, and Labor have been forced to vote against our motion to do that, which makes it very clear as to where they're currently standing.
So if I can paraphrase, Janet, the Prime Minister is obviously of the view, preferably, that crossbenchers don't raise motions, preferably, by 2050.
That's right. So, I think it's much stronger than that. It's immediate, you know, by 2021, that's right.
That is.
There's some things I can move very quickly on and other things, but yes, preferably sort of a long way down the track and sort of way up in the never-never.
So we've seen from the G7, a commitment from the G7 leaders around, particularly around the use of coal for the production of energy. And, you know, look, I understand the politics of it. I understand the local politics of it. But as a country, you know, I think people understand that, you know, fossil fuels are not the future. Yes, they're going to play a role for the near future, but they're not the future. That ultimately renewables and other forms of energy, I'm not an advocate of hydrogen because it is energy rich to create it, but we realise that change has to be made. So why is the opposition and the government sort of acting a little bit in lockstep here?
Because they're both beholden to and doing the interests of their mates in the fossil fuel industries. They are their donors. You know, coal and gas and oil companies give both the Labor and Liberal parties lots of money. And you've also got the revolving door, where you have these Labor and Liberal MPs. They leave Parliament and they go into senior executive positions in these fossil fuel companies, and the other way around. So that there are, you know, a couple of new senators in the Liberal Party who are, you know, former mining executives. And essentially, whilst the coal and gas and oil companies can get away and be supported by government to keep on exploring, mining, burning, exporting fossil fuels and make a lot of money out of it, they will keep on doing that, and they will lobby as hard as they possibly can to keep on doing that, regardless of what we know that it's doing in terms of cooking our climate. And you look at the difference between...
It's
say,
a very sad state of affairs, Janice.
It's a very sad state of affairs.
That's all I can say. I mean, the world is
moved.
It's
not a matter of politics.
Yeah, you know, we had your colleague Warren Entsch from the other house on the show this morning, and you know, he made it very clear that what we were listening to was mainstream science as a way of guiding us through COVID-19.
And we should be doing
exactly the same when it comes to climate change. And we're just not.
No, we're just not. And we have the government that day after day will get up and say that, oh, well, we're meeting our Paris targets, which are, of course, are pathetic. And we know that there is no time to waste. You know, time for half measures and sort of and putting it off to the future, that is long gone.
I mean, Janet,
the release of information from the IPCC during the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, it says we are rapidly heading towards tipping points beyond which, you know, there's no recovery from. And yet we know we can be doing stuff at the moment. And we've got such ability here in Australia to be shifting our economy and shifting our jobs.
Absolutely.
And actually have a really successful, vibrant transition. And we're just not doing it because of the interests of those fossil fuel companies.
Janet, we're almost out of time, but I just need to get a very quick comment from you. We have a new Deputy Prime Minister in Australia. What are your reflections on that development?
Oh, the beetroot souffle. Oh, look, all I can hope is that he's going to mean that the Liberal National Party government are less electable come the next election. I mean, it is just appalling. You know, I've seen various memes. You know, there are some things that you should not recycle, and Barnaby Joyce is one of them. And it's going to be incredibly damaging, I hope, particularly to the women of Australia. The fact that the bloke who was, you know, clearly, you know, his sexual harassment charges against him, which were completely unresolved, his past history, could now again be the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia. It's tragic.
Our panellist has completely and utterly lost control.
Yeah,
Turn them out as quickly as possible. And for me, the hope is, you know, I've been a founder of the Greens some almost 30 years ago, and it's the basis of, all right, we need a Labor government, but we need a Labor government that needs the Greens to govern, and then we can push them further and faster to actually do the things that they are unwilling to do, just as we did during the time of the Gillard-Rudd government in 2010, which is, you know, when we got the price on carbon, when we got dental care included into Medicare and all sorts of other, when we got the Renewable Energy Authority that we saved against this week. You know, with the Greens sharing power with Labor, we could actually get this country back on a positive, hopeful footing. And so I'll keep on working to that end.
We're out of time, Janet. Enjoy Spotswood, and
will do.
and the rest of your ride. Look, thanks for your time. When we are having guests actually physically at the Pride Centre, we'll invite you down. You can come down and have a look at the building.
I'd love to come. I'm looking forward to the opening of the Pride Centre. So
it's
awesome. Going to be the next couple of weeks, I think.
It is. Okay.
Great. Well, thanks for allowing me to have a rant. I really enjoyed
it. No, it's all good. It's actually been a morning of rants. Don't worry. You've been in good company.
Great.
And some really great terms. You know, beetroot souffle.
Beetroot souffle.
Takes the cake for this morning, I'd say. That was Janet Rice, Green Senator for Victoria.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.